We have 300 sign-ups already, so only 50 places left. So please sign up ASAP and pay by midnight tonight if you want to enjoy early bird prizes. Today we continue with our studies on Exodus, particularly on the redemption of God's people out of darkness. And we will be considering today spiritual warfare, raising your arms to pray. Let us pray together. Father God, we want to thank you. Thank you that we can depend on your word, and your word is faithful just as you are. We pray, Lord, for your word to be ministered to us and grow our faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know many of us are fighting battles every day. Every day we are fighting battles. We long for rest. We long for physical rest. But more importantly, we long for spiritual rest. Physical rest, you can sleep, and then you wake up, and you can still feel that you're unrested. Correct or not? Especially if you go on a holiday, right? Sometimes holidays, you come back more tired. Then you have to go back to work with more emails to clear. My prayer is that we will know our need and experience spiritual rest. And if we have that rest from the inside out, we will be truly rested. Today, I want to ask also this question. Do you remember the first time? Your first time. Your first time going to school. Your first time using a pen, you know, promoted from using a pencil to a pen. Your first time sitting for an exam. Your first time taking public transportation on your own. First time driving on your own. First time going to work. First time receiving a salary. First time dating. First time becoming a parent or a grandparent. First time going to a church. There are many first times we experience in life, right? How were those first times for you? Were you excited? Were you anxious? Were you stressful? The more prepared we are, the less stressful your first time will be. And that is why we have pre-marriage counseling classes, for those getting married, because they have never been married, right? They do not know what to expect, right? Yeah, so as they attend the class, we hope that they will be prepared for marriage. And that is why we have oikos class, because they have never been a Christian, they have never belonged to a church, right? They have never stepped into QBC, they do not know what we are like. Therefore, we prepare them to be a member of the church. The more prepared you are, the lesser the stress. And the more we pray about it, the more confident we become. Today we will read of Israel's first time engaging in warfare. Remember last few sermons that it was God who led the Israelites to this place called Rephidim. They didn't wander on their own and then got lost and then ended up squatting in Rephidim. It was God who brought them there. And at Rephidim, they had no water. And when they had no water, they quarreled with Moses. Right? And then, in fact, they blamed God. They quarreled with Moses, asking Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt into this desert place to die? Well, very serious, huh? In fact, it's true, right? No water, you will die. Within 4 or 5 days, with no water, you will die. But in fact, they tested God. It was God who brought them out of Egypt. It was God who brought them to Rephidim. And then God instructed Moses to strike the rock. And then water gushed out from the rock. And then there was a very interesting question found in Exodus chapter 17, verse 7. Second half of that verse. There was this question. They named the place, and the reason why they named the place that name was because of this question. They asked this question: is the Lord among us or not? It's interesting, right? They know that God brought them out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea. They didn't die crossing through it. They didn't die because the chariots overran them. And they were brought to this place called Rephidim. They just drank water from the rock. And then they asked, is the Lord among us or not? I can identify with the Israelites. I've been a Christian for many years. And sometimes I still ask this question, God, are you with me or not? Are you in the same boat as I am? Especially when bad things happen, so-called bad things in our eyes, unpleasant things. God, are you with me? I find myself asking this question. And as immediately as I ask that question, God will remind me, I am with you, Leonard, I am with you. It's a wrong question to ask. Right? God Emmanuel, we know that God is with us. So God today will answer this question. Is the Lord with us or not? Exodus chapter 17 verse 8 continues then with this account. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Here we read of Amalekite suddenly attacking the Israelites. It was sudden. In our lives, it is the same. There are many unexpected attacks. Especially spiritual attacks. Unexpected. Because when we are with God, the evil one is working overtime. Moses, supported by Aaron and Hur, raises his hands in prayer, ensuring victory for Joshua and the Israelite army. And that is the context of the battle. It was an unexpected attack and the first time that Israelites were thrown into battle. Many of us would think that this is a bad time for Israel, right? Because they were forced to fight and there was a loss of life. I mean, we live in peaceful Singapore, right? We pray that it will never happen to us. But Israel is different from Singapore. The Israelites were promised by God that they are going to possess a promised land. They are going to enter a piece of land. And do you think the occupants of the land will say, hey, welcome, welcome home, welcome home? You know, I always say, right, every time I'm the PIC, I say, hey, welcome home, we are very welcoming. But do you think the occupants of that piece of land will say, hey, welcome home, Israelites, welcome home, please come and occupy while we find another piece of land? No. The Israelites will have to fight for that piece of land. And if God were to tell the Israelites, go in and fight and occupy that piece of land, actually it happened later on, right? Do you think the Israelites will go in and fight? No. And that is the reason why there was this unexpected attack on the Israelites by the Amalekites. Whatever situation we are in, it is either God ordained it to happen or God allowed it to happen. The battles that you are fighting, it is either God ordained it to happen or God allowed it to happen, because God is a sovereign God. God isn't surprised by anything. Just like the Israelites at Rephidim, it wasn't a surprise to God. God knew what was happening. The Amalekites represent challenges that come unprovoked in our life. But we can take courage and we can grow in our faith. Why? Because God is for you. And God is with you. There was a call to action. Moses commanded Joshua to lead the physical battle. Go and fight the battle. And then he says, I will go and pray. Is that accurate? He says, go and fight the battle. He says, tomorrow I will go and pray. But tonight you go and fight first. Interesting, right? Why? If you were to be Joshua, if I were to be Joshua, if senior pastor were to ask me, Leonard, you go and fight, tomorrow I pray. I will tell, you know what I will tell Pastor Isaac? Pastor Isaac, can you pray now? I will go and fight now. You pray now, can? Right? Why? But Joshua was a different kind of man. Joshua was obedient. Joshua went and fight. Because lives were at stake. Remember, they didn't choose to attack the Amalekites. It was the Amalekites who attacked them. So they had to take arms and fight. They were forced to fight. They didn't have a choice. This was God preparing them to eventually go in and occupy the promised land. This passage also demonstrates the power of intercession and reliance on God during warfare, especially spiritual warfare. It is important for us to recognize that in every battle, there's this dual nature, two nature, physical as well as spiritual. Yes, it is a physical battle. Joshua must fight, but it is also a spiritual battle. In our daily lives, in our daily battles, remember, your battles are not just physical in nature. There's also a spiritual element to it. Whatever those battles are, it could be a difficult boss. It could be a health situation. It could be a loss. It could be anything, any battles. Relationship, whatever those battles are, whatever form it comes, there is a spiritual element behind it. So in our daily battles, remember to trust in God's guidance in both arenas. Don't just spiritualize the spiritual things, but in both arenas, we must trust God and depend on Him. I'm sure when Joshua went to fight, he was praying, as he was running towards the enemy. He was praying. What specifically was his prayer? I do not know. Just like us, in our daily battles, we fight our daily battles. At the same time, remember to pray. It is not by might, but by the Spirit. Imagine a ship caught in a violent storm. The captain gives orders, just like Moses giving orders. But the captain is not the one directly fighting the waves and rowing the boat or tying down the sails. Instead, he directs the crew while trusting the ship's design, and God's providence will guide them through. Similarly, Moses directed Joshua but relied on God's power through prayer. A good application for us when we face unexpected battles in our lives is to know that the sovereign God loves us. He loves us. It is either He led us there or He has allowed it to happen to us. So trust God while we fight for our lives. Trust Him. Don't doubt His character. He is a good God. He is your heavenly Father. Good can come out of it. Don't ask the question, God, why does it have to happen to me? That's a silly question to ask. If you truly know God and His good intentions, you will know that it has happened to you because good will come out of it. You will grow. We are very adverse to pain and difficulties. We always pray that God, I want a smooth life, you know. And then we believe that when you become a Christian, you experience God's Sabbath peace. Your life will be peaceful, smooth sailing. Some of you are already smiling because you know that that is not what it is. That is not what you sign up for. Right? What did you sign up for? You sign up to share with Christ in his suffering. You sign up to walk with God. So instead of asking, why does it have to happen to me? Trust in God that he knows better. But ask this question. Involve God. Ask him this question. What are you saying to me in this situation? How can I grow through this situation? What good can come out of this, God? But you must still fight, huh? Fight your daily battles. And pray. Involve him. And that is what Moses did. He raised his arms in prayer, and there is power in raised arms. And that is my second point. Exodus chapter 17, verse 11 to 13 continues. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. And whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on each side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. The raised arms of Moses is a symbol of intercession. It is a posture of prayer. There's nothing magic about that staff or that rod that he's holding. Sometimes, you know, my imagination, I wonder how heavy is that staff, you know. Maybe 5 kilo, 50 kilo, must be quite heavy that his hand comes down, right, and gets tired. But you must recognize this. He was praying with this posture from sunrise until sunset. I do not know about you, you know, but sometimes when we worship, I raise up my hands, right? I find it difficult to raise my hands and keep it up there for the whole song because my hand get tired, lah. Right? We are human after all, right? When we fight our battles, remember to pray. Remember to depend on God. The raised hands of Moses is a posture of surrender. In a war, if you walk out in this posture, the enemy cannot shoot you. If you walk out in this posture, and the enemy shoot you, he would have broken the law. Geneva Convention. Moses had this posture before God. He was in total surrender before God. But the posture of Joshua was different, right? But the posture of Joshua was one of fighting. Joshua didn't raise up his two hands in surrender. Friends, that is life as a Christian. Let's get practical. In our daily lives, we fight. We fight for our lives. At the same time, before God, your hands must be raised in surrender and dependence. There will be victory through perseverance. When Moses' hands grew tired, Aaron and Hur supported his arms, ensuring continual prayer. In our battles, you will feel tired. In your prayer life, you will feel tired. What do you need? You need friends. We need to learn this lesson. Victory comes with persistent prayer and relying on God's community for support. If you know that it is God's will, don't stop praying. Be persistent. It is like a parent going to attend a child's sports event. You know, as the child is running, the child looks for the parent. Or actually, before the run, the child will be looking out for the parent, right? Remember those days? I do not know whether it still happens today. Those days, the primary school has sports day, you know? And then parents will go and support the children, right? And the parents will be cheering on the children on with arms raised high, encouraging them. When the parents grow tired and lowers their arms, and if the child were to see it, the child will feel discouraged and his performance will deteriorate or waver. They will feel less supported. Moses' raised arms were like this spiritual encouragement, ensuring God's presence are with the Israelites. By the way, the Singapore Baptist Convention is celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. So we will be participating in the Baptist Family Sports Tournament. We have teams from the church competing, okay? We have three teams competing in the table tennis competition on the 22nd and 29th of March at Singapore Thompson Road Baptist Church. At least one team participating in the soccer tournament. Okay, it's going to happen on the 5th and 12th of April at the Cage in Kallang. And then one team participating in the badminton tournament on the 10th of May in Anglican High School. Coincidentally, or not, our church president tore his ligament so badly, you know, while playing badminton. He's one of our players. He's training very seriously and hard. He tore his ligaments so badly that he had to go for a surgery on Friday. So today's AGM, he will not be chairing the AGM. Deacon Victor will step up as vice president to chair the AGM. So the point is this, they are training very hard. Come and support them. They need your encouragement. Okay? So we will share further details nearer the dates. And I'm sure the players will be greatly encouraged to have you support them, especially family, friends, and DG. So let's come alongside and cheer them on. I may not be able to run after the ball and kick the ball anymore. If I were to be in the field, maybe the ball will kick me instead. But I can be there. I will be there. Okay? I will be there to cheer you on. Don't fight alone. This is the point. Don't fight alone. Involve others. Invite others to support you in prayer. Invite them. So players, invite them, okay? If they don't come, that is between them and the Lord. But our role is to invite. Invite others. Just like we have a goal for you to this year, right? You are to invite 4 persons to church activity and bring one to Christ. Invite. Okay, this is an invitation. Invite them to come for the Baptist Family Sports Day. Invite them. Non-Christians, invite them. In Alpha, invite them. We have a lot of platforms for you to invite. Okay, our job is to invite. Whether they eventually come or not, it's up to them. Invite them to be involved in your prayer life. You know, it saddens me as a pastor to see members struggling alone. Especially if you are facing difficulties. If you have cancer. If you suffered some loss. You feel that you do not want to trouble others. Friends, when you think like that, you don't belong in the church. You don't belong to a family. That's why you think like that. I don't want to trouble you. Do I trouble my wife every day to cook dinner for me? No, right? Does she say, hey, Leonard, can you drive me to work? And sorry for troubling you. No, right? Because we are family. There are certain things we do for family, no trouble at all. So if you are going through difficulties, you need help, you need a prayer support, reach out. But don't take the mic and share with everybody, okay? That is not wise, especially if it's on YouTube. What you can do is share with your leaders, share with your pastors. And if they are your leaders and your pastor, they love you, they will pray in confidence. No one will know, including their wife or their husband. That is what we are here for. And that is what your senior pastor does every week. Do you know that? He will send out a text every Thursday, ask you, are there any prayer items? I'm going to pray. Feel free to share with him. That is what spiritual leadership looks like. We pray for one another. And as we pray, we become more sensitive to the Spirit. When we do not pray, when you have something, some difficulties, you do not pray, you have a battle to fight, you do not pray, guess what? You depend on your own strength. You depend on your own intellect. You depend on your own means. You go and see a doctor. You go and use your money, withdraw the money from your bank and solve your problem. Right? But when you pray, you become more sensitive to the Spirit. Your spiritual eyes will be open, and when God answers you with a yes, no, or wait, you know the answer. And if you know that it is God's will, persist. My wife, Jennifer, prayed for about 25 years for her parents' salvation. How long? 25 years. And not just in private prayer. Last time in my church, when we were 25 years ago, in our church, we had a weekly prayer meeting on Wednesday. Weekly, you know. And every so often, she will ask the church to pray for the salvation of her parents. After 25 years, they eventually came to know the Lord in 2014. And they are now with the Lord. We are eternally grateful for that. How did God save them? You know, as pastor and pastor's wife, right, we would share the gospel, right? They will agree, agree, agree. But when you ask them the question, do you want to receive Jesus as your Savior? They will say, no, I'm not ready. And then as a daughter, what can you say? You cannot say anything, right? And then the conversation will go on and on, you know? But when you pray, God will send help. It was June that year, 2014, June. We were away in KL for church retreat. Good things happen when you go for church retreat, okay? So sign up for church retreat. Well, at the retreat, we received a call from her mom telling us that a lady had offered to come and clean their house for them and do marketing for them because they are very old, they cannot go to market. Straight away, there was red flag. There was red flag because we thought that this lady was a scammer or a con man. We told her to reject the offer, the good offer, and wait for us to come back after a few days because we bought you enough food for you to tie through until we come back. Your house dirty a little bit, it's okay, we will come back and then we will sort it out, you know. Later, we found out that the lady was actually the cashier of the 7-Eleven downstairs, you know, her block. And she was a Christian. And she invited my in-laws to church. And guess what? They went with her. Long story short, they attended the church. They were baptized in the church. Or rather, the pastor actually baptized my in-laws in their hospital bed. You know? And we were eternally grateful to God for their salvation. What is the lesson here? Persistence in prayer. 25 years. And the role of community in spiritual warfare. The church prayed together with us. And then God sent another sister from another church to come and minister and share the gospel and bring her or bring them to the church. We need Aaron and hers in our life. Aaron and her didn't fight physically, but they were crucial to victory because they fought spiritually. What is the spiritual application here? Support others in their battles through prayer. Encourage them with practical help and also be present when they are in need. Support others. A three-legged stool is stable because it has support from all three legs. If one leg is missing, the stool will collapse and cannot even stand on its own. Don't talk about bearing the weight of the one sitting on it. The raised hand of Moses was supported by Aaron and her, and each played a vital role just as a stool needs all legs to stand. Even Moses needed Aaron and her. We need an Aaron and her in our lives. Or perhaps you can be an Aaron or her to someone. Find an accountability group, just three of you or four of you. Share prayer items with one another. Encourage one another. As you invite others to church, at least four this year, to church activities, pray for them by name. You are going to share the gospel. Pray for the person. And ask one another, how many have you invited every time you meet? The question is asked, who can you support in their spiritual battles? Who can you support? Maybe God gave you cancer and now you are in remission because you can pray for someone who has contracted cancer. Maybe you had a difficult relationship. Now you can pray for someone and journey with that person as they go through a difficult relationship. Maybe you have a difficult marriage, so that you can journey with others through a difficult marriage or a new marriage. Yesterday we just met, you know, the marriage mentors, and I told them, we all don't have perfect marriages. But we can journey. We can journey with newer couples. That is what it is, friends. We are Christians. We are not saints yet. We are already and not yet. I still sin. I still fall. I need accountability. I need people to pray for me. So let's do this as a community. This year, we want to influence others one step closer to Christ, not just the unbeliever, but Christians as well, to up one more level, to grow. If you have been a Christian for 40 years, 50 years, you may think, oh, you know, I already grown enough. No, you can still grow one step closer to Christ too. Support one another as you battle for the souls of your loved ones and your friends. Lastly, when the battle is over, don't forget to declare that the Lord is our banner. God is our banner. Verse 14 continues, then the Lord said to Moses, write this on the scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it. Make sure who hears it? Joshua hears it. Because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Make sure Joshua hears it. God knows. Of all people, he tells Moses, make sure Joshua hears it. Why? Because Joshua was the one who led in the battle. And not only that, God knows that in the days to come, Joshua will be the one that will be leading them into many, many other battles. And he will be the one that will be leading the people into the promised land. Make sure Joshua hears it. God knows. His vision is further than ours. He has perfect vision, not like us. So Moses built an altar after the victory and declares Jehovah Nissi. Nissi, our banner. What is the meaning of Jehovah Nissi? God's presence is the ultimate source of victory. That is what it means. God's presence is the ultimate source of victory. In your battles, remember Jehovah Nissi. When you go back to office tomorrow, remember Jehovah Nissi. Because remember, your Monday to Saturday is your worship. We don't just sing down here, Jehovah Nissi, God, you are great, you know, and so on and so forth on Sunday morning. We worship God every day. This is a call to worship Jehovah Nissi. We celebrate God when we have the victory. When we are going into the battle, we proclaim Jehovah Nissi. And as you fight the battle, proclaim Jehovah Nissi. This is a call to worship. Every Sunday, we worship, we celebrate, we remember God's faithfulness in battles won throughout the week. When you proclaim Jehovah Nissi from Monday to Saturday, when on Sunday you come, we proclaim it together. God is our source of victory. The fact that we are able to stand here and worship God means that God is our victory. Identify moments where God has been your banner in past struggles and use those victories to fuel your faith for future battles. God has a good track record. Has He ever failed you in your life? For my life, He hasn't failed me yet. But are there battles? Many. Many, many battles. But He hasn't failed me. Some battles I'm still fighting. Some battles are long battles. The war is not over. They are just battles. Many battles make up the war. Use those victories to fuel your faith for future challenges. In sports, a team's flag is very important. A team's flag is very important. It symbolizes pride and identity. The flag or the banner will cause people to rally around it. They will be confident in their team's ability to win and they cheer on. For Israel, the Lord is our banner, meant that their identity and victory came from God, not their own strength. During the American Civil War, soldiers often rally to their flag during battle. Can you imagine a war? I've never been to a war, but I can only imagine, okay? Everybody is wearing, especially these days, what color do we wear? We all wear green. Friendly foe, enemy, you know, all wear the same color, right? So you do not know who is who in a battle. Everybody is muddy and dirty. Everybody is sweaty and bloody. And you do not know a friend from a foe. Right? So what do? They rally around the flag. As they rally around the flag, they fight from inside out. The flag reminded them of their cause and their leader. Even today, you know, the National Day Parade, there's a color party, right? Right? Where they hold the flag, right? Of the units and the national flag. The flag cannot touch the ground, you know. The flag touch the ground means what? The last man is dead. And nobody is there to hold your flag. Today we fly our flags high. Don't let it touch the ground. Christians, we must fly the flag of Christ high, Jehovah Nissi. It reminds us that God leads us and assures us of our spiritual victory. In conclusion, as Moses prayed for the people, Jesus prayed for us. On the cross, as he was hanging there, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." Now, he is at the right hand of God's throne and he intercedes for us and he's our advocate. The evil one will attack and tell God, "God, you see, that fella, that unworthy fella, that sinner who is unrepentant, sinning over and over again, Jesus will intercede for us. He will show the Father his nail-pierced hands. Father, forgive them." As Yahweh is our banner and our rallying point, likewise, Jesus and the cross is our banner and our rallying point. As takeaway, this is your call to action. 1, stay persistent in prayer. 2, support others in their spiritual battles. 3, acknowledge God as your source of strength. We all need to be in action. 2 weeks ago, Deacon Shi Chuan, not Sui Chuan, but Shi Chuan, shared this picture with us for our diaconate prayer time. The church is not a cruise ship where everyone relaxes. It is a battleship where all hands on deck and everyone serves on mission. We are in spiritual battle. But perhaps in our day-to-day lives, there are no bullets being fired at you or bombs exploding around you. We don't think that we are in battle, especially spiritual battle. Because it is spiritual in nature, sometimes we think that we are not in it. And that is what the evil one wants us to believe. It is not a spiritual battle. Just go to church, relax and enjoy. Good music, good preaching, find strength. Ask them to pray for you, and that's it. Experience God's peace. No. That is not what church is. We feel safe as we cruise along in the battleship. But sooner or later, that battleship will arrive at the battle site. When it arrives at the battle site, or when the attack comes to you, are you prepared and ready for the battle? Or you will have heart attack and die before the first bullet is fired? When the battle comes, will you be asking the question, is the Lord among us or not? Don't be found asking that question, is the Lord among us or not? God is always with us. Remember to raise your arms to pray. Let us pray together. I'll give you a minute to bring your battles before the Lord. Surrender it to the Lord. Give up control. And allow God to take over because the battle belongs to Him. Ask God to lead you and guide you into action to know what you must do as you fight your battles. Father, we thank you that we are not alone when we fight our battles because you are with us. Help us to recognize the spiritual element and dimension that is behind our daily battles because we do not just want to fight our daily battles for nothing and die. But Lord, we know that you have a purpose. Help us to come to you and to ask the question, how can I grow? What are you saying to me? How can I surrender more to you? And thank you that victory is secure. But in the in-between now, until we have experienced the final victory, we pray and we trust that your grace is sufficient for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.